Well, we're going to give this a try, see what happens. Because it's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Monday, September 26th, 8:34 a.m. I know I'm late. Late to work this morning. Sorry. I apologize to all my friends and listeners out there who like to listen to the early show. They're on their way to work or whatever they do. I'm sorry. This show is not going to be over. Or it's actually going to be posted even until 9:30 or probably maybe even 10 o'clock. So I apologize for that. So you'll just have to listen to it on the way home today from work or maybe over your lunch hour. But I have, I know that a lot of people like to listen to it in the mornings, apparently on their way to work or maybe, you know, possibly while they're getting their morning routine going. And, that's apparently that because listenership goes way up. And the earlier I post, the more listeners I have. And I'm assuming that's part of the issue. Plus I get my foot in the door before some of the other people post their stuff. That's what ends up happening usually. So at least that's my theory. It's just a theory. I don't know. I don't have any scientific data to back it up. Speaking of science, I have in my cup this morning, I have a scientific cup. I have my vanilla chai with my vanilla creamer, but I have a backup cup this morning, and you'll never guess what's in it. Well, you might guess. You might at some point guess. But it's pretty rare to have this kind of combination, especially a combination in my cup. Of course, there's sweet tea in there, which I hadn't planned on doing, but I had some sweet tea that was left in my favorite cup there in the refrigerator, and I just decided to pour this other concoction in with it. Yes, it is. I'll give you 5 minutes to guess. I'll wait here patiently, quietly for 5 minutes until you are done guessing, and then I'll tell you what it is. I can't wait that long. I got to keep talking. I can't leave 5 minutes of dead airspace. I don't think it's going to work in my show here this morning. People are going to tune out. So you can pause for five. How about that? We pause for 5 minutes. Pause the recording for 5 minutes. Ponder what I might have in my cup, and then I'll come back right as soon as I right. Pause right now. Wait, don't pause. I have to give you instructions on how to come back. So when you're ready to guess, come back. So pause right now. Pause. Okay. So hopefully now you're back. And you're going to hear the rest. It's apple cider. I have apple cider in my cup with my tea. I would say it's probably mostly tea. But there's a little apple cider in there. I'm going to take a sip here just to kind of give you an idea of what it's like. Give you my full report. It has kind of a mellow sweetness, and then it has just a touch of tangy apple. Just a touch. It's kind of like tangy apple tea. It's my new name for it. Tangy apple tea. I don't know why they don't offer it at restaurants. It's actually rather kind of refreshing. It's a sweet, and it's kind of got a tangy apple flavor to it. Pretty good stuff. I like to also put apple cider with my peach mango fusion, V8 fusion drink. And that seems to be pretty good. I like that stuff. I can mix it about 50-50, or I can go one way or the other with it. I can go kind of, 30-70, two-thirds, whatever. Yeah, I can do that too. It's pretty good. But you know, there's nothing like a hot drink in the morning. After you eat a little bit of breakfast, then you have this little hot drink to kind of soak into all the spaces in there, after you've eaten. Just kind of helps to wash things down and kind of gets that. Kind of works really well. Some people just, I don't drink coffee. I'm not a coffee guy. I just drink tea and stuff. Chai tea, which is, close to coffee, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't smell like anything like coffee, but in fact, I can't even, I don't mind the smell of coffee in the morning for some reason, but I cannot stand it. I can't stand drinking it. I just don't like it. If it's, a lot of these places that make tea, they always say, well, Like in a hotel room, when they give you I went into a place where I can heat up some water so I can make some tea. Well, just use your coffee maker. If that coffee maker has ever in its lifetime made one cup of coffee, your tea is going to taste like coffee. And that ruins it for me right there. That's all it takes. I can't, I just, it's, if I get a tinge of coffee taste in my mouth, I can't drink the tea. Well, I mean, if I was starving, maybe I could, or if I was whatever, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. I'm an entitled little guy and I'm not going to do it. So that's the way I roll. So this morning I've got this, this thing happening here with my computer. Hopefully it is going to record fine this morning. I'm taking a chance again. I'm using Logic Pro. I've not been using it lately because I've just been using my voice memo thing on my computer because it records flawlessly. I've been having problems with Logic Pro shutting off in the middle of a recording. It's got one job. Its main purpose is to record, and it quits. And it's an Apple product. It should work with an Apple computer, but it doesn't. So there's so many topics this morning that I could get into. Things that happened over the weekend, things that happened last week, things that are happening. Not any really big major stories breaking. However, there are a lot of little stories that continue to go on. And pardon me while I adjust my... I got some clothing issues here. I'm down in my basement. Now, normally, in the summertime, it's actually colder down here in the basement than it is right now. It's colder outside. The house, because the air conditioner's not running, we don't have, you know, the temperature in the house tends to be a little bit more uniform. When we have the air conditioner running, it all the cold air dumps down into the basement here, and gets really cold down here. But it's not so bad this morning. But I do have a little sweatshirt thing on, just in case you're wondering. I told you that just in case you're wondering, because I'm sure you were curious about what the climate was down here in my basement. So that's the climate report right now. Speaking of science, I was getting into this a little bit earlier. I saw a headline on just about every video I was clicking on this morning. I was trying to catch up. I went camping over the weekend. And the campground, they had a lot of nerve having a campground where you're trying to be out there with nature and trying to enjoy the solitude and the, just, you know, getting back in touch with nature kind of thing. And your Wi-Fi doesn't work. And I just, there's nothing more. And I don't know what our ancestors had to go through, you know, out there in the woods. Living out there in the forest without any Wi-Fi. And now, you know, it was horrible. It must have been horrible. And because you can't just take a picture of a plant and find out what it is, which is, you know, it's what you want to do. You want to be able to take a picture, put it on Google, and find out what that plant is in case it's poisonous. I was looking at this. Well, what happened to it? It's got to be here somewhere. That's ridiculous. I don't see it here anymore. I'll go back over here and see if, sure. It just canceled everything out. I don't know what's up with the YouTube app lately. I'll be in the middle of a video, pause it, close the app for a second, and just go to another app. I'll keep the app open, but I'll go to another app, come back, and it resets everything. Goes back to the home page, and the video I was watching is gone. And it's just within seconds, it does this to me. And I don't know what's going on with that. It's doing it a lot lately. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I pushed the cough button. Well, I think I'll just leave that in there. Now you know what it sounds like when I cough in the mornings. I thought I pushed the cough button there to mute that thing. It didn't mute. What was I talking about? The other thing it will do is because I've got premium YouTube, so I can close the screen, I can close my phone, and the audio will continue to play, which is kind of handy. If you want to put the phone in your pocket, you can keep playing the audio, so I can listen to news reports, podcasts, whatever they are. I can do that. Well, it sometimes does this weird thing where it stops playing, And I'll go to open it up, and all of a sudden it's in like triple fast. It's like in time-lapse mode. It goes really fast from the very beginning, and then it stops where it stopped. And it won't play. You can't push the pause. You push the pause and the play button. It doesn't keep going. It just sits there. And you have to adjust the little time bar on the bottom to get it to work again. So I don't know if that's just it's just my phone. If it's everybody's having this experience, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's been doing that now for about a couple months. I don't know what's going on. But I digress. The science. Let's get back to science. Science. This one scientist, I can't remember his name. I was going to pull up a video and see if he shows up again, because every time I pull up a video, it's like there it goes again. Every time I pull up a video, let's just pull up this one. I'll pull up Mark Dice here real quick. And yeah, here he is. This is it right here. Sure enough, pulled right up. Burn. Apparently, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Is that Neil deGrasse Tyson? Is that how you pronounce his name? I don't know how you pronounce his name. Neil Tyson. Mr. Tyson here. Mr. Tyson. He, the headline, this is the headline. See MAGA era science lies roasted and debunked by Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's the guy who does a lot of the space stuff. He's a leftist scientist. I didn't listen to the article. I have no idea what it's about. It could be about COVID. It could be about something else. Who knows what it's about? I know one thing it's not about. It's not about defining what a woman is. I would like for the, this is the guy who understands, this is the scientist we're supposed to listen to. Well, sir, excuse me, since you're such a renowned scientist and you know all this about everything about science, please give me your definition of a woman.
Well, I can't define a woman. I'm not a biologist.
Oh, that's why you've done many, many shows on biology. It doesn't take a biologist, folks. Yeah. This is the kind of baloney they redefine things. This is the same scientist who, during COVID, I'm sure, was out there talking about how, you know, it's important that we wear a mask. Or they became very strangely silent for a time period there. You know, when Fauci came out and said, hey, nobody should be wearing a mask right now. Okay, so where was the scientists that were refuting that? Where was this? Where was Neil here? Where was Neil? Where was he in here? It wasn't out there on any shows telling us what we should do. And then all of a sudden, well, everyone should wear a mask. Maybe two, because then, you know, another layer couldn't hurt. Just makes sense. Okay, Neil, would you care to weigh in on this, please? You see these quote scientists who seem to think that that we're just all science deniers. That's everybody. Oh, you're just a science denier. No, but we know what the definition of science is. You apparently think it's just your opinions. Well, you know, he's not rejecting me. He's rejecting science, because I represent science. I am the embodiment. I am the incarnation of science itself. I'm science man. Yeah. So arguing with you is arguing with science. If we disagree with you, we disagree with science. And science, apparently science has no problem lying to justify the means.
Yeah, you know, now I can talk more freely because I'm not in part of that administration that was, so terrible to be a part of. You know, the one that came up with the, you know, when I said we wouldn't have a vaccine for 2 years, and all of a sudden they came out with a vaccine. Because they cut through all the red tape. Now, I disagree with that whole thing, by the way. I don't like the fact that... Now, I know that part of the process of coming up with these vaccines and going through the whole process of testing and all that kind of thing, they get grants for that kind of thing. And part of that timeline and all the red tape that they go through is also part of the money-making machine. There are things that are done, and people who work full-time jobs, whole industries based around this whole approval process
tell me they're not milking and bilking the system with that. It happens, folks. It just always does. And anytime you have billions of dollars running around, and they just start throwing money, the government starts throwing money at things, you can bet your bottom dollar, billion dollars, that it's just more money sloshing around in the funds, and people are going to find a way to bilk it. Here's a little bright news you might want to, you know, not listen to the first thing on Monday morning. Of the $900 billion, I think I might have mentioned this last Friday, of the $900 billion that were put together in the package for a COVID relief fund, one of them, the main one, the big one, which ended up being well over $1 trillion, but that's because of the overruns. Of all that money, it's estimated now that about $400 billion was misappropriated. That's what they're calling it, misappropriated. Now, another way of saying that is stolen by fraud. Fraudsters came in, and a large percentage of that amount was taken by foreign actors. In other words, people outside the country that we will never be able to prosecute for. They're gone. That money's gone. Billions of dollars. So you have to wonder where that money's going to go. You know, on another note, this is just a little side. This is more of a happy story, but it's not very happy. It's a happy rant for me. It's a happy rant. Let's talk about Kevin McCarthy. Now, I was listening to Mark Levin's show. He has a show on Sunday nights called Life, Liberty, and Levin. And I agree with Levin, you know, 99% of the time. Now, I'm not sure. He was talking to Kevin McCarthy, had him on the show, and he said, well, you know, God willing, we're going to have, you know, you're going to be the speaker. Now, I think what he meant by that was that the Republicans would take the House, and that McCarthy, and that was what, you know, God willing, the Republicans are going to take the House, which will make Kevin McCarthy the speaker. Now, I don't like the fact that it's going to be automated, that Kevin McCarthy is just going to step in and he's going to be speaker. I would like to see someone else be the speaker. And here's the reason why. Those of you who know Trudeau from Canada, Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, I would challenge you with something, and I should, maybe I can put this together and have a little special show, like a breakthrough show today or tomorrow. Wednesday's going to be hard for me to have a show. There will be probably a show, but it's going to be really early in the morning. It's probably not going to be very long. There will be a show on Thursday, but it'll be late in the morning, if in the morning at all. And it too might be a little bit short. We'll see how that goes. But however, the next 2 days are going to be normal days. I might just put together a show. I'd have to do this from the headquarters, of the worldwide headquarters, because of the complexity of it. However, what I might do is put together a little, and on the radio, I think you could probably hear this, or, you know, in radio format like this, where you're just listening, you're not actually seeing anything. Not knowing which person is which, I'm just going to play clips of Kevin McCarthy making some statements, and then Justin Trudeau making some statements. And my challenge to you would be to listen to the similarities between the two of them and see if you can tell a difference between who's speaking. Because the way they do this, Justin Trudeau, when he makes his little speeches, when he goes out and makes speeches and he does his talks and he's trying to be very presidential, right? You know, being the leader. He is actually a phony. He's not a leader at all. And that phoniness spills out all over the place when he's talking. Now, I know a lot of people can't hear that. They don't recognize it. In fact, many people are actually, if the words that are coming out of their mouth kind of makes that they're listening more to the words than the way they're speaking. And you can hear more about the character of the person speaking in their the way they in the tonality and the way they deliver the tone of their voice, that kind of thing. Even the way they take a breath before they speak, you can tell. Those are the kind of things you become very sensitive to when you're in that industry, in the vocal industry. You become extremely sensitive to those things. And listening to the two of them speak, the phoniness in Kevin McCarthy is just as bad as Justin Trudeau. It is the same exact tempo, tonality, delivery. It is uncanny. And it is makes my stomach turn. That's, I don't have any other way to describe it. It just makes me sick. Now, if you've ever, for those of you out there who've ever worked a soundboard, you know, learning the knobs and the dials and everything that happens on a sound, like if say you're running sound for a church or you're running sound for a band. And you get the, you know, get used to, okay, I'll get this channel. There's the line of where the sound comes through from a particular microphone or instrument. It comes into the channel, comes into the input, goes, you know, pre-post fader. There's a fader there and you know, to adjust the volume. Then you get that can be sent off to a loop, you know, looped out or side-chained out. It can be, a lot of things can be done to that channel, or it can be, then it can be adjusted to a group, or the signal can be sent to an effect. And you can blend that effect back in through another sub-channel. There's all kinds of things you can do there. And then the output is then mixed and put into maybe a stereo output. And you can adjust things like frequencies. You can take it, you can go in and you can do, an equalizer type thing. Depending on how many bands it has in the equalization, you can adjust that equalizer. And so you can take out certain frequencies or add certain frequencies to a particular instrument or a particular vocal to make it kind of punch through the mix a little bit better sometimes, or but sometimes there's a little bit of a bad sound at a particular frequency and you have to kind of pull that out, draw that out, or maybe there's a particular frequency you want to enhance a little bit, so you boost that just a little bit. And usually less is more. Usually typically just a little bit is enough. People tend to overdo things. Now, if you find a frequency in the room, then you have to tune not just the instruments with the sound frequencies, but you have to look at the room itself. Because sometimes there's frequencies in the room that build up, or certain things that have a certain harshness to them, or maybe you don't have enough of a certain frequency in the room, and it muddies the mix. That's what we call it. It gets muddy. It gets hard to really. It just sounds like a lot of noise. It doesn't have any clarity to any of the instrumentation. So you have to go through and you have to kind of filter out some of those things and kind of create little spaces in the frequencies in the room, so that you're not muddling things up as well. So you have to tune the equalizer to the room itself, the frequencies. Well, all of this is, you know, you can understand what all the bells and whistles and all the switches, levers, and dials do. At the end of the chain is your ear. And a good sound person who's had a lot of experience isn't just good at adjusting the knobs and switches and levers and dials. It's the person who can listen to it and immediately know we need to pull a little bit of 1200 out of that, 1200 hertz out of that, off that guitar. We need to pull a little bit of, you know, we need to boost a little bit of 1500 hertz in that vocal right there. We got too much piano, low end on the piano. We got too much, whatever it is. That, because you can walk into a room and instantly know if the sound person is doing their job with regard to frequencies in the room, the clarity, everything else that happens. Now you can walk some rooms, you can walk around and you can find, you know, depending on where, this is why I love this whole iPad thing where I can adjust sound with my iPad. I can walk around the room and I can adjust things so that it sounds decent all over. Some places it sounds really good and you can take, you know, 5 feet away from that spot and all of a sudden it sounds terrible. But sometimes you can adjust the frequencies in the room to kind of make it the overall sound all over the room sound better. Now, the problem with that is that when you just walk into a meeting or walk in to hear a band or go to a church service, and the worship team starts, and you walk in and you're there, and all of a sudden you realize you're sitting in the wrong chair because it's this. I cannot stand what I'm hearing here. This is, everybody else is fine. They're, you know, they don't have any problem with it, but it makes my stomach turn. If I can't, there's a weird frequency in the room. I can't stand it. Like this, that needs to be adjusted. I can't deal with this. We gotta move. I gotta move over there because it's gotta be better over in that corner. A lot of times the corner's where all the bass builds up. But that's a whole other story. The issue here is that your ear gets trained to these things. Now, I've been in voiceover for many, many years. And I've just developed, it's not like something I've tried to do. It's just something that happens over time because you get trained. After being coached and coached and coached on, okay, we want you to have this sound a little bit brighter. We want this sound happier. We want you to put more emphasis on this. We want this to be heartfelt. We want this to be, you know, genuine. All these things that you're doing as an actor, as a voice actor, to try to make the sound what they're looking for that particular emphasis that they want to put on it, whether it's, and sometimes it's just as dry as can be because it's just an instructional video or it's an informational video for a patient or something. Or it's some advertisement for something that's, you know, some kind of whatever it is. So you're doing this reading, and so you kind of understand the tonality, and then all of a sudden you start realizing I'm listening to everybody on the radio. Every time I hear an advertisement on the radio or on television or on the internet or whatever it is, you start to automatically kind of lean in and listen to how they're saying, how they're delivering it, not just what they're saying, but how it's being delivered. Over years and years of doing this, you instinctively become kind of sensitized to that. You become very sensitive to how people speak. And you can tell if they are in, it's almost like a body language expert, which if you can couple this with body language, it's incredibly powerful. But a body language expert can kind of tell, they can see things, they can watch a person speaking and just, they look at it right away and they know. I mean, a lot of times, most body language experts that are on YouTube and the people who that do classes, they've analyzed the video. They'll watch the video several times and they'll take notes and they'll put everything down. Just listening to someone speak, what I call sight reading a person, which is just where they're just speaking and you're just trying to pick up on what's going on. It's much more difficult now. But however, if you've been doing it for a long time, I guarantee you, the people who've been experts at this and doing this and teaching people how to read the body language thing, they can sight read very well. And what I mean by sight read is, okay, let's say a person sits down to play piano and you just throw a piece of sheet music in front of them. They can literally look at the sheet music, 5 seconds later, they know what key it's in, they know how they're playing, and they just start playing and they're just reading the music as they're going. They're playing literally off the page. That's sight reading music. There are people who play by ear and that kind of thing too. That's different, whole different ballgame. Now, there are those who can play the music. They can play that piece of sheet music, but they can't sight read it. They have to go through it several times, figure out the chords, get the pacing, the tone out. They can't just sit down and play it automatically as they see it. Neither one is necessarily better than the other. One is more experienced and more talented in that realm. Doesn't mean the music has to be any different. The music can sound exactly the same. The quality of the music can be exactly the same. The difference is one person has to practice through it before they can play it. The other person can literally sit down and sight read it and play it. Now, they might make more mistakes as a sight reader. Someone who's practiced. Now, a sight reader can go through and practice it and practice it and practice it, probably be as good or better than the person who practices, you know, more. So it's, you know, but the point is you become attuned to that and you become your motor skills, all of, you know, everything that you've been doing, this practice has a way of spilling over into just natural life. that's kind of where I'm at with this. It's not some kind of weird, you know, mystical thing that I developed. It's just over time listening to someone speak. Kevin McCarthy is that guy for me. There are several other people who are as well. Speaking of people in Congress and Senate, there's a couple of different theories right now. The Democrats, interestingly enough, are really concerned about the midterms. They're coming out and saying, oh, no, we're going to be positive. We're going to win. But the polls are all over the place. Now, Luntz, who is good friends, speaking of Kevin McCarthy, is good friends with Kevin McCarthy. In fact, I think Kevin McCarthy lives in one of his apartment complexes or whatever. They have like a duplex or something, whatever they're doing. That's how good buddies. Now, you have to understand, Luntz is a left-wing radical. And Kevin McCarthy's, you know, he's good friends with him. What does it tell you about Kevin?
That just shows he's bipartisan and he's willing to work.
No. You're renting an apartment from a left-wing influencer within a DNC guy, not a politician. This is a guy who works behind the scenes. This is one of those bureaucratic people who work behind the scenes with the media. Gee, Kevin, do you think maybe there might be some kind of bug in your apartment? Possibly. You might be being surveilled? Possibly. You don't think they might spend a whole lot of money to be listening in to the minority leader, soon to be majority leader? They don't have to bug your phone. If they can hear your side of the conversation on the phone, they know who you're talking to and they know what you're talking about. They may not hear the other part of the conversation, but they can gather, they can put those pieces together. Good move, Kevin. Great. That's great. Or maybe you just tell them outright. Maybe you just have meetings with him and tell him what's going on. I don't know. Who knows? Could be. The other side of this is that, you know, Stefanik, what's her name? Christina Stefanik, or Lisa Stefanik, whatever her name is. When she first kind of came on the scene, she was really big on, this was kind of during the Trump era. Now, you have to remember what happened here. When Trump first took office, he had the House and the Senate. This is where I blame the Republican rhinos, the establishment, for the border crisis right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's happening under the Democrats' watch. But this whole thing could have been prevented if the Republicans, the establishment, had stepped up to the plate and built the wall. They were the only thing keeping the wall from not being built. And hear me out on this. This is how this all went down. Trump stepped into office. The never Trumpers, the Republican establishment folks, dug their heels in and basically said, we're not going to do this. We're not going to be part of this. This is racist. They thought that there was going to be this landslide at the midterms in 2018. So a whole bunch of them decided to retire. Now, I've talked about this before. The reason that they retire and don't run is what they'll do is they'll wait until the last minute and then they retire. And there's a certain release of their campaign funds. There's certain things that they can do with that campaign fund money. And that's why they go about doing it this way. Of course, now most of them get they also get a pension once they've, I think if they served, is it two terms? First term, you still get a pension, but I think after two terms, you get fully pensionized and it's in certain, like 4 to 6 years or whatever it is, or it keeps building up in your pension. So when you leave, you have all this income, even though it's a huge retirement package. You can work for like 6 years and get basically what you get the rest of your life, you get paid. Ridiculous. And what happens is these people, they all, a bunch of them retired. They wouldn't vote on the wall. They wouldn't put any legislation forward for the wall, for funding. They tried to do it and they wouldn't bring it to the House. This was all under Boehner, I believe it was. It's Boehner or what's his name? The other guy, Ryan. And all this stuff was going on at the time. And of course, as it was going on, by the 2018 election, a whole bunch of newbies, a bunch of rookies were coming in to the election. And of course the Democrats beat them. Nobody was throwing, they didn't throw their campaign money behind the person coming in. Because most of the people coming in at that point, the people who wanted to run, were MAGA folks. And they didn't want to be part, they didn't want to be seen as a loser. They just wanted to, I'm just going to retire so that I won't lose the election. There's a difference between losing the election and actually just retiring. What happens with their campaign funds? And I can't remember, there's just different rules for that. So it's an interesting situation that we got ourselves into. 2018. Well, then, so they didn't build the wall. They didn't provide the funding. Didn't get it done. And Trump had to go around through DOD and all kinds of other things to get funding through, you know, defense funds and all kinds of things. And he was getting it done in spite of Congress, not because of Congress. And of course, we lost the House then in 2018. This of course, put into motion all kinds of things where they were starting to launch investigations. They were starting to put people in security commissions and all kinds of other things. They were doing all kinds of people, putting people in places. Then that's when all the impeachment stuff started happening. And we went through all that baloney for years, for the next, 2 years. It was absolutely ridiculous. Now, of course, now the president, they win the House, the Senate, and they have the Senate, and they also have the presidency. They have the executive branch. And so here we are. We have all this going on. And guess what immediately happens? The border opens up. They're not running. Nobody on the left is running on a platform of border control. Nothing. Now, I was listening to McCarthy talk to Levin, and Levin let him ramble on and give all of the Republican talking points, all the things that they're running on. We're running on, securing the border, doing this, doing that, making this DOJ so he can't be the, we're going to give, the parents' bill of rights for schools. I always get nervous when I hear them talk about the bill, that they're going to give us a bill of rights. We already have a bill of rights, okay, first of all, and we should be able to, if the Supreme Court and the justice systems were doing their job and not being activists, we shouldn't have to have Congress step in and make another separate bill of rights for particular individuals. This is a dangerous trend, in my opinion. But at some point, they'll start to protect people that shouldn't be protected. In other words, it shouldn't be. I don't like the idea of special rights or special protections for individuals. We have a Constitution with a Bill of Rights that, if it's discerned and defended and implemented properly, there shouldn't be any need for any kind of extra Bill of Rights or special Bill of Rights for individuals, for groups. Well, you're part of this group, well, then you're going to get a special rights. And here's the problem. Here's what we're seeing, and this is unfolding all the time. The only part of our population that's not getting any special group rights is the white Christian male. Straight white Christian male. At some point, them being the enemy, because that's who they're protecting everyone from, right? You have special rights. If everybody else has special group rights and protected rights, who are they being protected from? Well, the only group that doesn't have special rights, apparently. You're a protected class. Well, you're not. You're the one we're protecting them from. Yeah, because you're the problem, so we have to protect them, apparently, because you don't have any special protected rights. It's all your fault. That's where this stuff goes. And I think we have to be very careful with all this group think, group right, special rights stuff. So Stefanik was grilling, making some statements in some kind of subcommittee. And she was talking about the whistleblower, this FBI whistleblower thing. All of a sudden, Adam Schiff, surprisingly, who was all about the whistleblower, he was on every news program in the country for months talking about the whistleblower. What the whistleblower told us about what's going on, and you know, because they're going to impeach Trump over this whole whistleblower thing. We're going to bring him down. The whistleblower was going to come forward and going to testify. Unfiltered testimony. It never happened. Now that they're wondering if there ever even was a whistleblower, that Adam Schiff may have been the actual whistleblower. They were so embroiled in whatever you want to call it. They were so adamant about not disclosing the identity of the whistleblower. And if you did, you got booted off of social media. I mean, it got leaked out of who this guy was. And all of a sudden, or that was in a different situation. This other whistleblower that they had for some reason, all of a sudden, his identity can't be released. And if you do, you're kicked off of social media. It's taken down. It's booted out. So now we have some FBI whistleblowers talking about what's going on. They will not even allow them to speak. They will not allow them to speak. They're willing to speak, and they're ready to speak up. They're ready. They're literally ready to come forward. And everybody on the side of the whistleblowers are ready. They're trying to introduce. They keep getting what they called gaveled out. I'm not exactly sure what happened there. I didn't actually see the actual proceeding. But they kept getting shot down. Nope, we're not bringing that to the table. Not because they want to protect the whistleblower. It's because they want to protect people from the whistleblower. The wrongdoers. It's like having a whistleblower against Trump and Trump coming out and saying, no, we're not gonna allow the whistleblower to speak. That's what that's like. These people are incredulous. I don't understand how they can live with themselves in the midst of all this. But let me just move on to another topic. And I know this one's going to be a little bit tough. If you have kids listening to this, you might want to consider turning it off. I just am going to say it right now. Because it's a horrific subject. Maybe your kids should listen to it, but if I had kids, I don't know whether I'd let them listen to this or not. It is absolutely horrific. And we have to remember who this party is and the people who vote for them. You should be ashamed of yourself. Literally. I don't like the word shame. I don't like to shame people. This is something you should be ashamed of. Especially if you're a Christian. If you call yourself a believer and you vote for this party. I'm not going to hate you for it. But I am going to ask you in tears, why? Why are you supporting this party? This party voted in favor in Congress. Not just of partial birth abortion. Post-abortion. Post-birth abortion. The majority of the people in the House on the left, if they knew they could get away with it, would vote in favor of birth abortion. But let me tell you just, they did approve, on record, voted for partial birth abortion. Let me describe for you for a moment. I'm not going to go through the whole process, and you can look this up. And I think that anybody who wants to support this party and you understand what they're voting for and the kind of people we're talking about here, what you need to do is you need to go and watch. If it's okay with you, if partial birth abortion is okay with you, then what I would challenge you to do is go watch one. Go watch the procedure. Or if at the very least, read exactly what the procedure is. And then you tell me if you want to support the people who are behind legalizing this and supporting it with your tax dollars. A partial birth abortion is basically a full-term child. They arrange the child to come out feet first. As they bring the child out, they make sure that the head does not come out of the womb, because it's not actually born yet. Because they know that when that head leaves the womb, that's a person. But until it does, it's in their mind, it's not a person yet. It's not a life that has rights. They cut into the back of the skull. And they remove the baby's brains. Now, if you can support the people, these barbarians who do this, want to legalize it and promote it and cheer when it's approved, when they win, they stand up and applaud it. Then you just go right ahead and you vote for them. And you hold your head up high and you just become real proud of what you've done. Now, I know that there are a lot of people out there who don't want to be single issue voters. And I understand that. I get it. But maybe you just need to refresh yourself on what it is exactly that issue is about. Because that child is not an issue. When I come over to your house and sit at your table for dinner and you have your children sitting around you, I'll just look at you and say, "What kind of issue are you?" "Oh, I see you have three little issues here." I think you'd be offended by that. Wah. Too bad for you. Because that's the way you see children, apparently, is they're just issues. The biggest issue of all issues is life itself. I just don't know. I don't know what it is in the mind or the heart of an individual person, a human being, can bring themselves to commit such a thing. But I also don't know, I don't understand the celebratory nature of legalizing it either. I don't bring it up much on this show. Mostly because I have a really hard time talking about it, obviously. But it is something that needs to be talked about. When does life begin? That is the issue at hand here. Now, I have my own personal belief of when life begins. But at some point, the Supreme Court, someone needs to define when does life begin? Of course, we can't even define what a woman is, so how are we going to define what a life is? When does life begin? If a woman, I know what a woman is. If a woman finds out she's pregnant, and she's 2 months along, and she loses that pregnancy at 6 months, she has lost her child. If someone else at 2 months or 3 months commits an act of violence against that woman and she loses that child, that woman believes that her child was murdered. If she doesn't want the child, apparently then she doesn't consider it to be murder, apparently at that point. Well, murder is not subjective based on the person carrying the child. If I happen to be holding your baby, I'm the one now carrying your child, aren't I? So do I get to decide whether or not it's murder or not? If someone shoots at me and they shoot through the baby? You see, we have to decide when life begins, because at that moment, regardless of where the child is, that life is now protected with rights, the right to life and liberty and happiness, the pursuit of happiness. But until we do that, this argument will continue to go on. Now, there are people in academia who say that, you know, oh, at the point of conception, that's not life. What is it exactly? Well, it's just a mass. At what point does it go from being a mass to a person? Well, it has to have a heartbeat. Now they're not calling it a heartbeat anymore, by the way. In fact, Stacey Abrams now has come up with this whole thing of, this isn't a heartbeat now. This is cardiac activity. This heartbeat is manufactured to make people think that there's a heartbeat there. It's not really a heartbeat. We're denying the fact that it's a heartbeat. Even though it sounds like a heartbeat, it's not, because it's just manufactured. It's phony. It's not really a heartbeat. It's just cardiac activity. Well, that's nice. Like, maybe we can just listen to your heart and make no, you don't really have a heartbeat. You're actually dead. We're going to put you in a box and bury you, because that's just a manufactured thing. It's just cardiac activity. You're not really alive. So we might as well just, slap you in a box and throw you in the dirt. See how you feel about that. And it's so rich that the Democrats come up with this idea that, oh, Ron DeSantis. I told you on this show many, many months ago, everybody was, oh, we need to have Ron DeSantis run for president because, you know, Trump's just too controversial. He's too polarizing. Well, who's the one doing the polarizing? The polarization product comes from the left. And guess what's happening? Now that they're talking about DeSantis, all of a sudden, DeSantis is worse than Hitler. He's worse than Hitler. He's worse than Trump. That's what they're saying now. The way he's using immigrants as pawns, shipping them off to Martha's Vineyard, or wherever, Ocasio, or wherever there's, whatever, Kamala's place. I think it was Abbott that sent him to Martha's Vineyard. Now they're the villains because they're using these people as pawns. Oh, they're in tears over this. Oh, I can't believe that they're using these people as pawns, political pawns. These people, this lady on The View, who supposedly was a Republican at one time, she's probably voted Republican one time or registered as a Republican, and all of a sudden, so that she's using that the rest of her life to be a Republican representative now. She represents all Republicans. She's obviously never voted for a Republican since 1962. So she ended up coming on, she was on The View, which I didn't listen to, but somebody else did. They told me about it. I listened to the clips. And she was going on about how they're using these people who escaped communism and socialism. They come here and they denounce communism and they're using them as pawns. And that's not Christian. And of course, everybody claps because they're all judges of Christians, apparently. All these unbelievers, all these people who are mealy-mouthed, they don't even go to church anywhere. Come in there and tell you, that's not Christian. Oh, you call yourself a Christian, you do that. Oh, all of a sudden, you're the judge of all the Christians now, all of a sudden. But if a Christian stands up and judges you that way, that's not Christian either, is it? But you have the right to judge them. But you don't. Because you're going to tell us what Christianity is. Now, that's what's going to happen here. All of a sudden, they all become authorities on what Christianity is. This is like Nancy Pelosi being very Catholic, but she doesn't follow the Pope at all. Even though the Pope is as leftist can be, except for the issue of abortion. But that's the one issue she's vehemently against. With the Catholic Church, but seems to not want to mention that, doesn't want to talk about that. You're going against a major teaching in your church, in your religion, because her religion is not the Catholic Church. She's not a Catholic. Most of these people on the left, to them, religion is their government, because they're the leaders of the government, and therefore they want to be the head honchos. They want to be the gods, with a small g. Who walk around the temple of democracy, the hallowed walls. They are the ones in charge of the people. They grant them their rights. They're there to protect them. We took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. They throw back their shoulders and their chin up, throw their nose in the air, and then they proceed to take away our rights. Trample all over it. They hate this country. They hate this country. I hate the Constitution, for that matter. You don't see them, you know, at their conventions holding up the flag. You don't see them at their conventions saying how much they love this country, and that to them is appalling. It's sickening. That's a part of the resistance. That's a part of those patriot MAGA people. Oh, even the ones who are a threat to democracy. Those people. So this is the way the Monday is unfolding for me, folks. This is what I'm waking up to in myself here. And as this goes on, as the week goes on, I'm sure I will unpack and unfold some of these things that are being said. As I said before, as we get closer to the elections, it's going to get really interesting. And you got polls saying that the Democrats are going to lose in a big way. And you've got polls saying that the Republicans may not even win the House. Strangely enough, that comes from Fox News. All these toss-up states. We'll see how that works out. Gas prices are beginning to tick back up again. So this stuff comes in waves, and it's happening again. Inflation is still high, even though they're saying it's flat. They got all these new definitions. I'll talk about it tomorrow. But pray for our nation. Pray for each other. God bless, folks. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.